Good afternoon. The Early Learning and Elementary Education Subcommittee will now come to order. For the record, members, please remember to turn on your microphones for the roll call. Kirsten, please call the roll.
Chair Lupus.
Here.
Vice Chair Coster.
Here.
Ranking Member Davis.
Here.
Representative Caruso.
Here.
Representative DeSegli.
Here.
Representative Duggan.
Here.
Representative Hawkins.
Here.
Representative Hunshofsky. Representative Lamarca. Representative Learned.
Here.
Representative McCurdy.
Here.
Representative Mooney.
Here.
Representative Nixon.
Here.
Representative Roach.
Present.
Representative Rodriguez is excused. Representative Tribolsi.
Here.
Representative Trunow.
Here.
Representative Williams.
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Kirsten. Members, as always, please remember to be recognized by the chair before addressing the committee or the presenters. And as always, please be sure to silence all electronic devices, including Representative Duggan's beeper. Members, today we actually have two bills. So we're really excited to be hearing bills for the first time this year. We're going to start with HB 153, Interstate Compact on Educational Opportunity for Military Children, by Representative Altman. Representative, you are recognized to present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill simply extends Florida's participation in the Interstate Compact on Educational Opportunity for Military Children. The compact enables member states to uniformly address educational transition issues faced by military families. The compact governs member states in several areas, including school placement, enrollment, records transfer, and graduation for children active duty military families. All 50 states and the District of Columbia are compact members. I do have an amendment.
You are recognized to present the amendment.
The amendment basically adds two members to this this group, one appointed by the Senate President and one appointed by the Senate Speaker, House Speaker.
Thank you, members. Are there any questions on the amendment? Any questions on the amendment?
I have a question.
Go ahead. Representative Williams, you're recognized for a question.
So you're increasing the, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
You're recognized.
You're increasing the number of members that would serve on the board itself? And if so, you're increasing it from what number to the additional two?
You're recognized.
The amendment increases the council's membership from 7 to 8 members. So presently, the Florida Council on Interstate Educational Opportunity will have both an appointment from the House and one from the Senate.
You recognize for a follow-up?
So if we're going to increase it from 7 members to 8 members, what
yes.
happens if there's a tie? Who breaks that tie? Who makes the final decision?
You recognize.
I don't know. I guess they'll work it out one way or another. I really don't know. There may be somebody here that might be able to add some light on that. A lot of times these legislative members may be ad hoc. Of course, that would push it to 6. Just no. But if there's a problem, we can correct that as we move on. This doesn't really change the substance of the bill at all. All we're doing is adding a date, a new year, sending it out to 5. But we felt there needed to be, I guess, you know, if there's a tie, whatever they vote on fails, to answer your question specifically. So if it's a 4-4 vote, it fails. It's no different than if you had 9 members and 5 voted against an initiative, that would fail. In this case, we have 8, and in the case of a tie on a parliamentary procedure, whatever is voted on would not pass. So that's probably how they would resolve that.
Any further questions? Ranking Member Davis, you're recognized.
Just trying to help out. So do we know if this is a body that just makes decisions, or is this a voting body?
You recognize.
Well, they work with other compacts. There's 50 compacts across the nation. So they're a body that would deliberate and would vote. It's my understanding they would actually vote, I think. They oversee this process by which we implement the compact, and we work with those bodies.
Members, any further questions on the amendment? Members, any objection to the amendment? Okay, seeing no objection, the amendment is adopted without objection. We are back on the bill as amended. Is there public testimony? Oh, my apologies. I'm very rusty. This is my first bill this year, so you'll have to forgive me. We're going to go back to the bill as amended. Are there questions on the bill as amended? Any questions on the bill as amended? Okay. Seeing none, we are going to move into public testimony. Philip Suderman with Americans for Prosperity. Waving in support. Karen Mazzola, the Florida PTA. Waving in support. Thank you, Ms. Mazzola. Jimmy T. Smith for Concerned Veterans for America. You're recognized, sir.
Chairman and committee members, my name is Jimmy T. Smith, and I am the Coalition's Director for the Concerned Veterans for America, better known as CVA. We're a nonpartisan, not-for-profit organization that is known as the Voice of Veterans for Freedom and Prosperity. We stand in support of HB 153 and the extension of Florida's participation in the Interstate Compact on Educational Opportunities for Military Children. As a 20-year U.S. Army veteran, I've seen many families move throughout my years. And for anybody who's moved even once, you know the stress on the family in its entirety. Now imagine if you're a high school student of a military family who shows up to a new state to continue your education. The Interstate Compact provides a much needed tool for those military families, that students, to transition and assimilate into a new environment by ensuring things like understanding shared norms. Norms form the basis of collective expectations that members of the community have from each other and play a key part of social control and social order by exerting pressure on the individual to conform. The Interstate Compact focuses on such things as enrollment, eligibility, and graduation. And like I gave the example of the high school student, that's important. Of course, this program will help children of military families by providing increased options and choices. We should also look at expanding these same freedoms to all children. Regardless of whether their parents answer the call to service, children with options are children who have a greater opportunities, and greater opportunities allows for a greater chance of success, which is what makes America stronger. Thank you for your time. I hope you support this good bill. And if I remember correctly, the representative said on the amendment that it would be a position by the Senate president and the Speaker of the House, so that would be an increase of two, so the odd number would stay an odd number. I hope that helps. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. David Struz from the Foundation for Florida's Future. Waving in support. So that concludes public testimony. Members, is there debate on the bill? Representative Duggan, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to observe, I have the pleasure of serving with Representative Altman on the Florida Defense Support Task Force. And we have staff members, Mr. McCaffrey and Mr. Collins from the staff, from this task force here. I just want to observe that it's actions like this that help keep Florida as competitive as it can be in protecting our bases and our roles and our missions with the military and growing them by taking these family-friendly initiatives. So I commend Representative Altman for doing this, and I encourage all of you to support it.
Members, any further debate? Ranking Member Davis, you're recognized.
I think we all will support this bill as it is. I would like to ask for one clarifying point because it feels like it's a sticking point with the bill identifying that the President of the Senate as well as the Speaker of the House would each be appointing a member. And so I think we need to clarify whether it's going from 7 to 8 members or 7 to 9 members. But other than that, I think this is a good bill and we'll support it today.
Members, any further debate? All right, seeing none, Representative Altman, you're recognized to close the bill.
Let me read the amendments very short. The council shall consist of the following 8 members, 1 member appointed by and who shall serve at the pleasure of the President of the Senate, and 1 member appointed by and who shall serve at the pleasure of the Speaker of the House of Representatives. I will check on this, but I believe what happens is 1 legislative appointee. That's why when we add another, we add those 2, it's only adding 1. So they kind of had to share that. This way each gets its own. But I will verify that, let you know. This is my first bill, too, Mr. Chairman. You can see I'm a little rusty, too.
We're nervous together, sir.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah.
I was already corrected by the gentleman who wanted to sit very close to me to let me know that I didn't follow protocol. But it's okay.
It's
okay. It's okay. Good luck getting your bills heard this year. Thank you, Representative Altman. Having closed on the bill, Kirsten, please call the roll. Members, please make sure to turn on your microphone to record your vote.
Representatives Caruso.
Yes.
Davis.
Yes.
DeSegli.
Yes.
Duggan.
Yes.
Hawkins.
Yes.
Hanshofsky.
Yes.
Coster.
Yes.
LaMarca.
Yes.
Lerdin.
Yes.
McCurdy.
Yes.
Mooney.
Yes.
Nixon.
Yes.
Roach.
Yes.
Rodriguez is excused. Trabulsi.
Yes.
Trunow.
Yes.
Williams.
Yes.
Chiralupis.
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays, the bill passes.
Members, by your vote, HB 153 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Altman.
Thank you very much. Thank you to the committee. Appreciate it.
All right, members, we're moving on to our second bill of the day from our very own Fred Hawkins, Representative Fred Hawkins, HB 225, Charter School Charters. And Representative Hawkins, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair Lupus, Vice Chair Coster, Ranking Member Davis, member staff. Thank you for the opportunity to present HB 225 related to charter schools and how they are renewed and consolidated. I first want to say a few of you have reached out to me. This is not about whether you favor charter schools or not. This is about the parents, the teachers, and the students and what's best for them when it comes to their bill. This deals with how a charter school gets its charter renewed and how they do consolidation. And Mr. Chairman, that is pretty much the bill, what it covers.
Okay, members, there's an amendment, but before we move to the amendment, are there questions on the underlying bill? Ranking Member Davis, you're recognized.
Sometimes we do this a little different, and I was gonna wait, I think, until the bill is amended. Did you ask?
So the protocol, because, thank you for pointing out that I screwed up the last bill. We're going to do the questions on the underlying bill. Then we'll have the amendment. We'll have questions on the amendment, and then we'll debate the bill. That's the protocol.
Okay, so I'll wait.
Wait for the amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Members, are there any questions on the underlying bill? Yes, Representative Lerner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you very much. I appreciate this. I just my only question is, what's the impetus? Why are we running this bill now?
You recognize.
Thank you. Great question. Why the bill is being run. Charters should be renewed during the school year. This puts a 90-day before the end of the school year comes that a hearing will be held if a charter is not going to be renewed, or if it's not heard, it gets automatically renewed. We've had instances where over the summer, charters were not renewed with only weeks before the new school year starting, and teachers were trying to find jobs, parents were trying to find new schools for their children. We want to prevent that. If there is an issue, that it's taken care of during the school year to give plenty of time. Public schools start before spring break, even working on their next school year. We want the charters to be able to do the same thing.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess as part of my question, I would just, like, I'm aware this is my school district that I believe this had happened in. And so I'm just making sure I understand. So we're not changing other charter law, right? We're just, all we're saying is that if you're going to non-renew, that's a decision the school board can make. They just need to make it in a more timely fashion. Is that my understanding?
You recognize.
That is correct, but it is not just the school board that you're familiar with. There's ambiguity in the current law. This kind of takes that and gets rid of it. It gives structure of how and when we should be renewing the charters.
Thank you.
Ranking Member Davis, you're recognized.
I think you answered it a little bit, but I'm going to try it a different way to see what I heard. So if you have a school within this 90-day window, right, and April, something major happens, fiscal mismanagement, one of the contract violations, can the school district at that point not renew or terminate, or are they outside of the 90 days? How is that going to be handled? We're in April. We're within that 90-day window. A major violation happens. What you know, authority does the school district have at that point?
You're recognized.
Great question. I think it will be clarified in part of the amendment that I will read, but I will read it for you now. The amendment clarifies that required 90-day notification does not apply in the case of immediate termination of the charter, as those procedures are already provided for in law. So we're not really changing when termination can happen. We're more focused on when renewal and consolidation can happen.
Representative Caruso, you're recognized with a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Rep, for the bill. I'm just wondering, charter schools, this bill does not propose that they automatically renew unless they fail to meet certain standards, and then they have to, that has to be stipulated, or does it take a different approach other than automatic renewal?
What it would do, it would automatically renew if there was not a hearing held about their charter, but it has to be before 90 days of the end of the school year for that to happen. That's what we're trying to clarify. We don't want charters to be being renewed and public hearings being held over the summer where there's less time for, if it's not renewed, a teacher to go find another job, parents to find other schools for their children.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, any additional questions? Representative Hawkins, there is one amendment. You are recognized. We're going back into questions. Representative Learned, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I just as a follow-up to this question, it was a good question, and I'm just kind of curious. What the periodicity that where charters renew now, right? Is that based on anything set in the calendar year? Like, if a natural renewal would have happened during the summer, like in the example you just gave, is there an opportunity for the school board to still non-renew? Like, can they look at that prior to the 90 days so that they still have that chance? That's really what I'm making sure.
You recognize.
You mean earlier in the school year, they could look at it? Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Members, any further questions on the underlying bill? Okay. Ranking Member Davis, you're recognized.
So talk to us a little bit about the automatic renewal. I'm stuck in the non-renewal area. If a school district doesn't respond within this 90-day window, in this bill, it's this school, this charter is automatically renewed. Am I understanding that correct?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes.
So if we have, I'm sorry.
You're recognized.
Thank you. So if we have an issue where a violation occurs, school board doesn't respond within a 90-day window, what is the authority at that point?
You recognize.
That's your school board not doing its job.
Okay, potentially. Again, is that charter renewed in 90 days, even with that situation happening?
Yes, because the school board did not do its job.
Okay, thank you.
All right, members, there is one amendment. So, Representative Hawkins, you are recognized to explain Amendment 1, barcode 745707.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This requires a sponsor to provide the specific reasons for denying a request to consolidate a charter school within 10 days and clarifies that a charter school's charter is automatically renewed if the sponsor does not provide the required 90-day notification of a proposed action rather than a vote.
Members, are there questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? Any public testimony? Nope. Members, are there any objections to the amendment? Seeing no objection, the amendment is adopted without objection. So we're back on the bill as amended. There is public testimony. David Struz with the Foundation for Florida's Future, waving in support. Edward Briggs, Charter School Leaders Incorporated.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members, and thank you, Representative Hawkins, for carrying this good bill. Just wanted to come up and just answer just a few questions and everything. I think one thing at the end of the day, but he said it great, this just clears up some of the ambiguity that we're seeing in current law. Current law already allows for the 90-day notice to be given for a termination to not renew, but it's not clear when that needs to occur. Sometimes that occurs at the end of the charter school's charter contract, which could be potentially in August or September. So if you back it up to that 90 days, you're entering the middle of the summer. So you could potentially having a vote for a charter school to potentially be denied or not renewed occurring in the middle of December, literally 2 months before the school year. This just backs it up to say, let's do it before the end of the school year occurs. That way, so if there is something that could happen, that the charter school, their staff, their parents, They all know what that looks like. They have, there is an administrative appeal they could go through, but it just kind of frees up that ambiguity. So making sure that those students, those parents, they know what what's happening to their school at the end of the day.
Representative Lurden, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want, just to, you know, I guess I'm, I need a little bit more work than others to understand this. So let's say a five-year renewal is coming up in the September of a school year, and the 90 days that you're proposing would back it up so they have more time. I totally understand that. My question is that mean that we're renewing that charter at 4.5 years? Or are we renewing it at 5.5 years and, like, giving them the extra? You know what I'm saying? Like,
you recognize.
Mr. Chair, that's a good question. No, I think it would still follow into that same time frame. You would just be backing them up to the end of the school year. You'd still be looking, if they have a five-year charter or a 10-year contract, you're still going within that window. You're just making sure that there's a clear delineation back. And to answer clearly on the automatic renewal, not to go to it, it's basically saying you can still do an immediate termination if a violation occurs. As Representative Hawkins said, if there's something comes, this is just saying that if the school district fails to act and hold their meetings in a timely fashion, then that school would be automatically renewed, because at the end of the day, it's not fair to the parents, to the students, and to the staff whose jobs are on the line if they know that their school potentially is not going to be there for the next school year.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Representative Williams, recognized for a question.
So you are stating school board is not doing their job. A school is have a violation that may potentially hurt a child can automatically renew.
Mr. Chair, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, please correct me if I'm wrong, but if there is an immediate thing that would call for an immediate termination, that is not changing current law. That is still allowed, and that can still go through. We're talking about the normal renewal and the consolidation process. Those types of things should come up in the site review forms, the compliance as they're going through those checklists, and that would be for a board to decide at the end of the day.
Thank you, Mr. Briggs. Thank you. Philip Suderman with Americans for Prosperity. Waiving in support. So, members, that concludes public testimony. Members, is there debate on the bill? Representative Caruso, you recognize?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to thank the rep for bringing the bill forward. You know, it's wrong to shut down schools like this at the last second. And kids are being abused and bullied and their lives being turned upside down, as we've seen over the last 2 years because of COVID and the masking and vaccine mandates, et cetera. Like that wasn't enough, and then this happens. And it not only affects the well-being of our students, our children, but the lives of, you know, the teachers. And this is wrong. I'd like to see the bill go even further than it's going now. I'd like to see it be an automatic renewal, except if they do something wrong, and then follow the parameters you're talking about. But I'll be up on this bill. Thank you for bringing it forward.
Thank you, sir. Representative Lurden, in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this one is a personal one for me. This is my district. This is my school district. These schools were in the district I represent. I have heard both sides of this one, and it's a vexing one. I'm only rising in debate. I'm not telling anybody how they should vote. I'm not leaning on anybody. I'm just going to explain what I'm doing. I'm going to be up on the bill today. I think I understand why my school board did what they did. I understand the situation that they were under. It was hard, and this was not an easy thing that anybody did. That said, I think, you know, everybody's testimony today is correct. Like, the kids and families deserve time to plan. I have twin 9-year-olds. You know, my wife's making decisions on schools 9 months in advance, years in advance. I mean, I feel like we're already having conversations about high school we want to go to, and they're 9. So this is making sure that parents have that stability is important. And again, thank you for working with us on this bill. These issues are very politically charged, as we all up here are well aware, but this one seems to have struck the right balance without going too far. So thank you. Thank you.
Members, any further debate? Ranking Member Davis, you recognize?
Thank you for taking the time to speak with me about this. And I think we're all on the same page. And I think fundamentally, we understand what you're trying to do here. At least I do. My concern is always ensuring that we're dealing with schools, public schools. And I always want the school district to be able to be a part of the decisions that are happening when it comes to schools in the area. So that's why you got so many questions from me with the school district and their authority, and at the end of the day, who has the last word. So with that, I do agree with my colleagues that parents do deserve the right to be able to plan and be notified. And so we understand the timelines, but again, always want the school districts to be a part of this conversation and making that authority decision. So thank you.
Members, any further debate? Seeing none, Representative Hawkins, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate everybody's questions. I appreciate the time you took yesterday and today to talk to me. I will tell you, the two school districts that I represent in District 42, I absolutely love. I think our superintendents are very smart. They're caring about the kids. I don't think, and I hated to answer your one question that way, I don't think they let something slip if there's violations. I think they're already having those conversations, at least I know in my area. So I do think the bill will help. I stand by the bill saying it's about the students, the parents, and the teachers. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I close.
Thank you, Representative Hawkins. Kirsten, please call the roll.
Representatives Caruso.
Yes.
Davis.
Yes.
DeSegli.
Yes.
Duggan.
Yes.
Hawkins.
Yes.
Hanshofsky.
Yes.
Coster.
Yes.
LaMarca.
Yes.
Learned.
Yes.
McCurdy.
Yes.
Mooney.
Yes.
Nixon.
Yes.
Roach.
Yes.
Rodriguez is excused. Trabulsi.
Yes.
Trunow.
Yes.
Williams.
Yes.
Chiralupis.
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays. The bill passes.
Members, by your vote, HB 225 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Hawkins.
Thank you, members. Thank you, Chair.
So, members, that concludes our agenda for today. But before we adjourn, I just want to recognize two individuals. One is a celebratory recognition for Naomi Sleep, our senior analyst. It was her birthday yesterday, so we just want to wish you a happy birthday. She's my next-door neighbor in the office, so good friend. And I'd also like to recognize our policy intern, Shayna Cohen, who is at the end, who has both her bachelor's and her master's in economics at FSU, from FSU, and is currently a master's in the applied politics program at Florida State. And Representative Hanshofsky, you'll be glad to hear, she is a resident of Parkland. So, and Shayna actually wrote the analysis for Representative Altman's bill. So we were really glad to have you, Shayna. Thank you so much. So we have one more hour of committee. Anything else? Okay. So with that, seeing no further business, Representative Trunow moves that we rise.